5:11. How are you doing this morning? It's the third day of February, and we're all in our Super Bowl hangover. Events last night conspired to help me out. What I mean by that is, instead of having a belly full of pizza and bad snacks this morning, I feel pretty healthy because I was going to get gyros. That was going to be my treat last night. I was going to get a big, fat gyro sandwich. And
You were batching
my, my wife's out of town. So I thought, oh, this is great because I can eat whatever I want. Nobody will ridicule me for not being healthy. So that was my first choice. But then the place closed early, so I couldn't get that. Then I thought, well, wait a minute. There's a place near my house that has good noodle dishes. And as you know, carbs are out these days. You hear this all the time. It's just like eating sugar, eating pasta. But I thought, I'll load up on noodles. And then I went to the noodle shop, and there was a big sign on the door: we're closed for Super Bowl Sunday.
What?
Yeah. So I go down the street a little bit to a grocery store, and they have one of those, you know, hot food.
Yeah, the hot
things,
bar.
Yeah,
with all the wings and.
Yeah, and I don't know what happened. Something's happened to me. I got like a piece of salmon and some broccoli. This is disgusting, isn't it? I mean, what does it come to? So I'm watching the Super Bowl, eating fish, vegetables. Although I did take a little macaroni and cheese in my dish, and then I brought in. If you notice, you folks, and when I say you folks, I'm of course talking about Mary over there in Traffic Central, or whatever it's called, the traffic bunker, and then Steve in the newsroom, and then Dave here on the sports desk. I brought in a friend of mine was nice enough to drop off a box of what I thought were just cookies, and I didn't even open it. So I brought it in, I left it on the kitchen counter there, and I opened it and I saw the cookie, but then I found out there was something else in there. It was like a pie that maybe should have been refrigerated.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
What is that? I looked at it.
I don't know what that is.
Is that hummus? Is it
no,
a pie?
No, it's some sweet treat of some sort.
I was going to dip into it, but I thought.
Well, it wasn't refrigerated.
Oh.
But have the cookie.
Okay, well, then you better throw it away.
Yeah. Good morning, Bob Surratt with you at 519. First caller on the radio gets a prize at 312-981-7200. Kelly, you are not eligible. Kelly Davis from WGN-TV News is on the line from Aurora this morning. And what's the latest on that fire, Kelly?
Hey, guys. Good morning. We are in North Aurora. We're actually at a senior living center called Constitution House Apartments, which is right off of North Constitution Drive. And they just wrapped up the investigation out here, but it is a death investigation. Fulton County responded to reports of smoke inside the building just after midnight. They did a search of the building, and that's when they found one person dead inside their apartment. The fire was contained to that unit, so they didn't have to evacuate. It is a six-story building, so it has several units, but it didn't impact anyone else in the building. That's the good news, but unfortunately, someone did die in this fire. So arson investigators are out here as well as police, which they say is just standard procedure when anyone dies in a fire. So they're just looking into the cause. Of course, it's still unclear how the fire started at this point, and they have not released the victim's name just yet.
And when did that fire break out, Kelly? Was that last night?
It was just after midnight. So it was about 5 hours ago, and it was initially a report for smoke in the building. And when they got here, they did a search of the building, and they found fire coming from one unit, and that's the unit that they found someone had died.
So no official word on the cause yet, right?
No, still too soon to tell.
Kelly Davis in Aurora this morning for WGN-TV and for WGN Radio. Appreciate it. Thank you, Kelly. Have a good day.
You're welcome. Thanks, you too.
All righty, it's 5:21, and it looks like Ryan from Rogers Park is our first caller on the radio today. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, good morning.
You win. Congratulations.
All right, awesome. Good way to start the week.
Sounds like you're on the road already.
I am. I just got on Lakeshore Drive heading south.
Okay. You want to give us the traffic and weather where you are?
Yeah, traffic's pretty clear. I think it's about 40 out. It's pretty nice. Traffic's moving good. No ice, no snow on the road. So
there you go.
Conditions are good.
Where are you headed?
I'm headed to Inglewood. I am a 134 electrician. We got a building that we've been working on down there for a while now.
We hear from a lot of electricians and carpenters at this hour. You guys start early, don't you?
We do, yeah. I'm supposed to be there at 6, so I usually start my day around 4:30.
It sounds like you're calling from outside your vehicle.
From outside my vehicle?
It's a little noisy there. You got the windows rolled down this morning?
No. Here, I'll turn my AC down a little bit.
There you go. All right, Ryan, well, how about a $50 gift certificate from Builder's Supply Outlet?
Perfect. Yeah, I could definitely use that.
They're so much more than kitchen cabinets. Check out The Edge, their state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom out in Broadview. Did you stay up for the whole game last night?
I did, yep.
What'd you think? What's your review?
You know, I wanted the Chiefs to win, but I thought San Francisco was going to pull it off, but I'm glad with the outcome.
That was a good game right to the end. And your favorite commercial? Anything grab you?
I think I like that Doritos commercial with the Lil Nas and Sam Elliott. That was pretty good.
Oh, yeah. I enjoyed seeing Sam Elliott's mustache wiggle. That was fun.
Yeah.
All right, Ryan, you hang on, and we'll get the information so we can get that gift certificate out to you. Appreciate hearing from you, and have a great day, okay?
Yeah, you as well. Thank you.
Hang on there, Ryan. It is 5:23, and do we want to talk to Jerry? He's the second caller. He doesn't win anything, but he gets to chat
Vegas
with us. Hi, Jerry. Oh.
How you doing?
Sorry.
Bob, can you hear me?
Yeah. Sorry to interrupt. Were you talking to another radio show?
No, I'm not. I'm just talking to you.
What's up?
We saw J-Lo in Vegas, uh-huh. And we paid $700 for two tickets for my wife and I, and the show was so loud, it was just like that my wife's ears hurt, and we went out to and complained about it, and they says, "Oh yeah, we have earphones for you, earplugs rather, so it would plug it out." And the music was horrible. The show was horrible. We walked out of there. We couldn't stand it.
Well, wait a minute.
My
wife's
ears are still hurting.
Wait a minute.
It cost us $700.
Hold on, Jerry. Hang on a second. You saw her in Vegas for $700, and it wasn't worth it.
It was horrible.
Did you watch the halftime show? Did you
see that? Like that, and it was horrible. I mean, oh, geez.
Jerry. Switch to a decaf, number one. And number two, did you watch the halftime show?
We watched everything, yes.
Yeah? Did you like that show, at least?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, no, not much. That's not our thing.
Okay.
I'm sure Pace didn't have a nice night yesterday.
Who?
Pace, the
Ryan
the man
Pace,
from the Bears.
Oh, right, yeah. So we're trying not to think about all that stuff. Thank you, Jerry. 5:25 almost. I'm trying, you know, not to be that guy, by the way, who complains in the restaurant that the music's too loud. Now, I don't want to turn into my dad just yet. I'm trying real hard.
It's hard because sometimes it is really loud.
It is. But yesterday, the comments flying about the J-Lo Shakira show were unbelievable. I mean, as far as people complaining.
Really? What were they complaining about?
Well,
I liked it.
It was, I mean, I love both of them. I mean, they're such super great dancers.
Nice outfits.
That's where everything went south. It was too much. The pole dancing.
Oh.
The I hate to say crotch shots, okay, but I'm going to say it.
Well,
and
yeah.
It was, I mean, I was getting complaints from my kids. My kids!
Well, you know what the issue was? I think the director had his cameras
yes.
at a low angle.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was thinking how many guys were pausing and rewinding and freezing the frame.
Yeah, I had 10, 23-year-olds in my living room, and they were liking it. But so, my granddaughter was watching it, and then my son went, "Oh, I shouldn't have had her watch that." I go, "That's not a good role model." I said, "Well, okay."
My wife's out of town, so maybe I enjoyed it more last night than I normally would have. I don't know.
Yeah.
I didn't have any problem with that.
They are excellent dancers, you have to admit.
Yeah, they're like athletes, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. The stuff she was doing was, you know, well, a lot of lifting. You know, a lot of guys were lifting her up.
And I didn't know that was J-Lo's daughter.
Yeah, at the end, she's got a voice. She's only, what, 8? I want to say, or maybe 10. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's got a voice.
And then I did think, though, when I saw her and the kids, that it was a bizarre mix of the wholesome with the erotic.
I didn't like that. I didn't like the pole dance. I mean, I hate to sound like that because I love both of them. And they are, like I said, great dancers, great singers. They put on a great show because they were sweating at the end. So they worked hard.
Yeah.
Lip syncing, though.
What did I see? Here was a good line from the music critic at The Trip, Greg Kot. Oh, here it is. Yeah, he said, and he nailed it. This was less about music than it was an eye-catching spectacle. And that's what it's supposed to be, right?
It has to be a show.
You only have a few minutes for that, right?
Right. There's a lot of people to please, and it's a big stage, so it has to be a show.
Yes, and it was a show and a pretty good game. And I think that right up to the end, I thought, who knows who's going to win this one, right? And it was a good performance in the end by both quarterbacks, didn't you think, Dave?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think you started to get the feeling once Mahomes heated up there and hit the big pass play to Hill that they were going to find a way to pull it out. And from that point on, and they scored the last touchdown. At that point, I think they pretty much had it, even without the extra, the touchdown run at the end. But look, Mahomes, you have to give him credit. He's done this repeatedly, and they're the first team. What was the stat? The first team to trail by double digits in 3 postseason games. Here it is. Let's see. Chiefs, first team in NFL history to win 3 games after trailing by 10 or more points in a single postseason. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
And by the way, the odds are out for next year for the Super Bowl.
Already?
Yeah. San Francisco, Baltimore, Kansas City are all co-favorites at 7-1, followed by the New Orleans Saints at 10-1. And if you're wondering, the Chicago Bears are at, let me see here, got to go down the list a bit. They're 30-1.
Oh, my God.
But those things don't mean anything. A lot changes between now
and
that.
Of course. Hey, Robbie Gould, what, 3 field goals last night?
Right, yeah, he got them on the board early. Robbie Gould had 2 field goals in the game. He has still never missed a postseason field goal attempt in his career.
And every time he kicked one, it went right through.
Yeah, there wasn't much doubt about it.
And all Bears fans were thinking the same thing. I don't even have to bring that up, do I?
No.
So I won't. All right, much more on all of the Super Bowl commercials later on. And everybody's talking about the Jeep commercial with Bill Murray that was filmed here in Woodstock, Illinois. Reported exclusively here on this program first, by the way, that he was doing that. And you know what I thought? Yeah, it was entertaining, but is it selling any Jeeps? You know, later we're going to talk to an ad agency guy about all that. But
I did like the color of that Jeep, though.
The I don't even remember
like
that.
It was like an orangish car.
It was quite orange, yeah.
Yeah. That was entertaining, and otherwise I thought most of them were like over the top, all of this production, everything thrown in there, including the kitchen sink, and you know, they weren't that great, and I don't know how well a job they did of selling, but more to come on all of that after we give you all the news you really need to know this morning. Here you go. Quick agribusiness update now, Orion.
Good morning. As we start a new trading week, a new trading month, the question on the minds of equity and agricultural commodity traders, will coronavirus dominate the market again this week? Because as of Sunday, 300 deaths reported in China from the coronavirus, and still the big question, how much of a global impact will it have on the economics? And if China didn't have enough concerns and problems with the African swine fever and now coronavirus. Over the weekend, the Chinese government reported an outbreak of the deadly H5N bird flu. The outbreak occurred on a farm that had 7,850 chickens, 4,500 of them dead from the disease, and local authorities have culled another 18,000 poultry after the outbreak. No human cases of the H5N1 virus have been reported so far, but it's much deadlier than either SARS or the coronavirus. However, again, no human cases have been reported in China thus far in the outbreak. And something that's of concern to farmers in the west and southwest of the United States, they now keep watching the level of snowfall in the mountains in the west, and the report from California's water agency, Water Resources, said that they're hoping for a couple of wet months ahead to make up for lost precipitation during the month of January. Currently, the snowpack in the Sierra is just 43% of the April 1st average, with just 2 months left to make up the difference. That's Ag Biz. Have a great day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
All right, thanks to Orion. 541. And when we have a big unusual mess on the road, I don't like to make you wait until our regular traffic report for that. Mary's in the traffic center right now. I-57 still northbound, still a problem, Mary?
Yes, it's still closed off at 147th, including the entrance ramp at Sibley. This is all because of an accident investigation going on overnight, accident involving a state trooper.
Okay.
It was an injury, that would happen about 2:30. So whenever a state trooper involved, they have to do this full investigation.
Sure. All right. Thanks for the advance word on that. I forgot to do this a couple weeks ago, some old business. A big shout out to our brothers and sisters in sound there in Park Ridge at WMTH. They were among the first high school radio stations in the country when they were licensed back in 1959. Maine East High School, they went on the air December of 59. They're celebrating their anniversary, and I just wanted to say hi to the kids there. WMTH FM, Park Ridge, Maine Township High School. So I'm watching the game yesterday and really enjoying some of the Bear connections there, Dave Bennett. I saw Ditka, and I guess Devin Hester was on the field as
well. Yeah, they honored basically some of the great players from 100 years of the NFL, and they rolled out some. I mean, it was a great collection of NFL stars of the past, although it did kind of strike me that some of these guys don't look the way I remember them.
No, I know. It makes you feel old, doesn't
yeah,
it, when you see that?
But it was good to see Ditka out there. They had a terrific group of quarterbacks. I mean, they had Peyton Manning, Joe Montana, and Brett Favre, and I'm trying to think who else was in that group. Dan Marino, and some of the great running backs, and Devin
Tom Brady was there.
Tom Brady was among them.
Kent Nix, Bobby Douglas.
Yeah, they were all there. Virgil Carter.
A lot of wheelchairs and walkers.
That's the problem when you see that. Yeah, you don't like to see that. And quite a few shots of Virginia McCaskey last night.
Well, and then they had that video they ran at the beginning with that kid.
Yeah, I like
and
that.
They had all these NFL. It started with Jim Brown, I think, was the first face you saw.
Right.
And then all these familiar faces throughout this thing. And it ends with Virginia McCaskey handing this kid the ball, and he runs out. Now they go from tape to live, and he runs out
onto
the
field. That was pretty cool.
That was so
very
cool.
That's a YouTube sensation, 12-year-old Bunchy Young.
Yep.
Yeah, that was fun.
It reminded me when they carried the torch in for the Olympics, how they do that with the whole video thing, and then they actually come in and they're holding the live.
I really, as far as entertainment goes, I enjoyed the pregame features, those segments. Those, to me, were more entertaining than a lot of the commercials later on. How you doing this morning on Monday, the third day of February? everybody's kind of talking Super Bowl, the game, the commercials, and the controversy. We'll get into that in a little bit. Did you hear about this? During the national anthem, I guess, Beyonce and Jay-Z were seated. And I saw this clip. TMZ had the video of them while Demi Lovato was singing the national anthem. And this kind of surprised me, since Jay-Z was involved with the NFL. He co-produced the big halftime show. So we'll get into more of that later and see what you thought of that. I'm kind of an old school traditionalist, maybe a bit jingoistic, but I did enjoy all of the patriotic pregame festivities last night, and I have to admit that during the Johnny Cash tattered flag segment and that Medal of Honor winner, yeah, I got the goosebumps. It did get to me. I enjoyed that. And, you know, the Super Bowl, they always do that. And I thought they did a pretty good job. I thought the production on the whole pregame, if you watched starting at about 4 or 4:30 or so, that was very entertaining. And they spent a few bucks on that. My goodness.
Well, if you started at 4 or 4:30, then you saw just a fraction of the pregame.
Well, no, I tuned in earlier for a little bit, and then I went away, and then I watched some more. But, yeah, I have the TV on in the house at about 2 or 2:30. And
did you see Pitbull?
I did see Pitbull, yeah. And the Pitbull dancers.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, He's always entertaining, always puts on a good show. I mean, they did capture the flavor of Miami.
Oh, yeah.
And during the game, I kept thinking, we were talking about this on Friday, the whole Joe Buck controversy. Yeah, people love to hate Joe Buck. But, you know, if you really listen to him and Troy Aikman, really, who could do a better job, really, than those two? I mean, I fail to see anything wrong with Joe Buck.
It's like I told you on Friday, I think he gets a lot of heat because, as all these guys do, because it's always one team feels like he's leaning towards the other team. But I'm sure that there were Kansas City fans last night who thought he was pro-San Francisco.
Sure.
And that's, I guess, kind of how you know you're doing it right.
Yeah.
When you have fans on both sides mad at you.
He has to play it down the middle.
Yeah, I think he's a very solid broadcaster.
And he's been doing it for a long time. Mm-hmm. And that's why he gets the criticism, because he's everywhere, ubiquitous. And it's pretty cool that that his dad did the Super Bowl, was it 50 years ago or something?
Well, yeah. He did a number of Super Bowls.
But he did his first one, I think.
Yeah, I think it was the so Hank Stram coached the Chiefs the last time they were in the
right,
Super Bowl, and
right.
Hank Stram used to do football with Jack Buck for years on radio and did a bunch of Super Bowls.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
I mean, Joe Buck really kind of grew up in the shadow of Hank Stram, and now here he is calling the Chiefs Super Bowl win.
And that's also why Joe Buck gets all the criticism, because people think, he's just because of his dad, he got these jobs. But he's really good. I mean,
he got the genes, not the job.
Yeah, well,
that
well
probably
said.
Didn't hurt.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. But, you know, I thought they did a great job on the call. I mean, you know, can you imagine the pressure? I mean, I was nervous for him. I think if you're in this business, you tend to think, what do these guys, what do they feel like when right before they go on, knowing this enormous audience, you know, awaits them, and with social media now, can't wait to pick them apart.
Right, right. Well, I was kind of thinking that about the players, especially the guys who were in it for the first time, watching Jimmy Garoppolo during warmups looking so relaxed and smiling. And I'm thinking, mm-hmm. This guy, now he's been playing football his whole life, but now he's going to go out and play in front of, I mean, it's the single biggest event in the world, and yeah. He's about to go out there and be part of it.
Yeah, I like when they show the guys and their routines right before the kickoff. A number of them was it Mahomes I saw kind of walking around the stadium with his headphones on, probably listening to music or something?
Yeah, most of them do.
Yeah. Yeah,
they get in their own space.
Yeah, right. And normally, you know, I watch the pregame, and then I pay attention to the commercials, and then the game's very incidental. But it was hard to go to the washroom at all last night because you didn't want to miss the commercials, and the game was good.
It was. That is a problem.
Fox, I'm sure, I think that is point, happy.
At that point, you opt to skip the commercials, Bob.
Yeah,
you can always back the DVR up.
And there were a lot of promos, too, that you could go to the bathroom. They promoted a lot of TV shows last night.
The Masked Singer.
Yeah,
I
that mean, was
could
so
you see
old.
That
is the Masked Singer, does the Masked Singer wear a mask because of the coronavirus? I haven't been watching that show.
You could have watched it. It was on after.
It was on after the postgame last night.
Let's find out about the markets here at 4 minutes before 6 o'clock. What's happening in China, Stephen? Does this mean the U.S. markets are going to be tanking today?
Well, so far it doesn't appear that way, although the Chinese story is a big one today for investors. We saw the report earlier about $393 billion in value wiped out of China. They were off all of last week because of the lunar holiday, and so this is the first day that investors are really getting to grapple with the enormity of the coronavirus outbreak here in the U.S. A couple of things could move the markets today. And this Market Desk Outlook is sponsored by Associated Bank. The ISM Manufacturing Index is due today. Also, construction spending for December will be out. And building industry analysts are forecasting a 0.3% increase when those numbers are released. Total vehicle sales for January are due out. Sales of cars, light trucks, and SUVs fell to an annual rate of about 16.7 million in December. The ISM Manufacturing Index also out today. And on the earnings calendar, we will see Alphabet, The Hartford, and Cisco Corporation reporting quarterly earnings. Just a few things that could move the markets on Monday, February the 3rd.
It is 10 after 6. Bob Surratt, Human Alarm Clock. It was fun to see our pal Jared Payton from WGN on the field. They had a quick shot of Jared and I think that was Brittany and Chris Long awarding the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award last night to the defensive end from the Jacksonville Jaguars. Calais, is that how he says his name?
Calais Campbell. Calais that was Campbell. Saturday they had that.
Oh, really? They ran the clip?
They do that the night before, and then they bring them and recognize them on the field at the game. Or the big award show is Saturday night. They do it big, you know, like Oscar style.
Oh, yeah. The whole weekend in Miami was, you know, Super Bowl-a-palooza. Mm-hmm. And, you know, also I got a kick out of during that really dramatic, and when Liev Schreiber could just read the phone book and you'd get the chills. But, you know, so he's narrating that pregame 100 years of the NFL and mentioning all those players and doing the salute to the game. And in the middle of that, they had a couple of clips that, did you catch Jack Brickhouse? You caught a couple of seconds of the Monsters of the Midway from Brickhouse during that.
Yeah,
segment.
Unfortunately, at the party I was at, I couldn't really hear the sound.
That's why
you were home by yourself.
That's right. And then our pal Jeff Joniak, they used his Devin Hester, "You Are Ridiculous" line. That was kind of fun. Enjoyed seeing that last night. We'll have more on the commercials and all the to-do about that coming up. What was it, $5.6 million for a 30-second commercial? And then people don't talk about the millions and millions and millions of dollars spent on production. And as I'm watching all those commercials, I kept thinking, Do they really sell these products? Is it worth it for these companies to spend that kind of money? They get a lot of publicity because we talk about it. The commercials run before, after, but still, that's a big investment.
And a lot of times you're trying to figure out what the commercial was for.
Sure.
Most of them were cars,
yeah,
a couple of beers,
right?
But what you would expect.
Yeah, and I defy you sometimes to tell me as soon as the commercial ends, all right, what beer was that?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Good morning.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Now the top six at six with Bob Surratt on WGN Radio.
6:18, Iowa gearing up for its first in the nation caucuses today, marking the official start of the presidential election season. As they get underway, the Democratic senators who are running for president are splitting their time between Iowa and their day job in Washington for closing arguments in the Senate impeachment trial. The Senate is all but certain to acquit President Trump on charges of abuse of power and obstruction of Congress in a vote set for Wednesday. Tomorrow night, State of the Union address.
Now, page two.
Let's see. The Food and Drug Administration has approved numerous medications for smoking cessation, including the nicotine patch and other nicotine replacement therapy. These can be most successful when used in combination with other kinds of help. The United States Surgeon General, Dr. Jerome Adams, has warned that despite the well-known lethal dangers of cigarettes, too many smokers are not routinely advised by their doctors to quit. In a new report, he urged smokers to use a range of cessation methods that have been proven effective and cautioned that e-cigarettes have not. In a recent report, Dr. Adams said in an interview, 40% of smokers do not get advised to quit. 4 out of every 9 adult cigarette smokers who saw a health professional during the past year did not receive advice to quit. About 16 million people in the U.S. now suffer from cancer, heart disease, and smoking-related disorders. The financial toll enormous as well. Annual health care spending attributed to smoking exceeding $170 billion. And have you heard about the patch for meat? As more people adopt a plant-based diet and more establishments offer fake meat, it was only a matter of time before some psychological science was put behind the lifestyle. A meat patch now to help carnivorous eaters who want to eat less meat has been developed. The plant-based food company Strong Roots and an Oxford professor who's an expert in sensory perception and the relation between our mind and sense of smell and taste teamed up to develop the patch. It uses scratch and sniff technology to try to trick your brain into thinking it's eating bacon while you're really eating fried veggies or baked potatoes. Want to try this? I'm looking for the hot dog patch to help me.
You think you'll get attacked by a dog when you have that on?
You could, depending how powerful the smell is. Well, our strongest sense is the sense of smell.
Do you really need that? I mean, do you need to trick yourself?
No, but you've got it nonetheless.
Page three.
Thank you, Paul. The world's richest person is now richer. Amazon founder and CEO Jeff Bezos added around $8 billion, that's billion with a B, to his fortune on Friday as the company's stock jumped up more than 7%. And the stock's surge lifted his holding in Amazon to about $115.6 billion. Bezos' total net worth sits at $124 billion. How do you deal with that, knowing you have that much money? I mean, when you're at the grocery store, do you just buy everything?
What does your ATM receipt look like when you get your balance?
What are you going to do with it? I mean, you know, Jeff Bezos, when he died, what's going to happen? I guess it will go to his family, but...
Well, he's charitable. He gives a lot away, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I mean, just think of the mindset, though. I don't know. And a lot of those guys, like Warren Buffett, who famously lives in the same house he's always lived in and drives an old beat-up car.
Eats McDonald's every morning for breakfast.
Yeah. I guess it doesn't affect a lot of those guys. A lot of those guys are, you know, just kind of act the way they were before they were rich. Not me. I'd be different.
You would.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I'd be different. And, you know, I'd be handing out money wherever I go if somebody on the street was, you know, begging for money. Then after a while, I think people would start following me, though, because that's a problem, too. You can't be doing that a lot. It's dangerous. But I'd like to try to figure out how to deal with it. I don't think I'll have to worry about that, though. 2020 is already looking up for Bezos after his finances suffered slightly last year because of his divorce. Let's see. So McKinsey now owns 4% of the company. Just recently, Bezos was sued for defamation by his girlfriend's brother, Michael Sanchez, in a lawsuit accusing Bezos of falsely claiming the brother provided explicit photos to the National Enquirer. The lawsuit was filed late Friday in Los Angeles County Superior Court.
Page four.
Let's see. I'm getting to page four here. Sunday marks the 1 week Mark, since the death of Kobe Bryant, his daughter, and seven other people involved in the helicopter crash in California, did you think about that yesterday? Yesterday afternoon, you couldn't help but thinking, wow, this time last week, what was going on and what you were watching. I expected soon as a federal safety agency's preliminary report that will include facts only and won't make a determination into the cause of the crash, according to NTSB investigators. The agency could issue safety recommendations prior to the final report. Bryant's family and city officials in Los Angeles are still working out details for the funeral and memorial services. A public memorial could be held at the Staples Center or at a football stadium to accommodate what could be a massive crowd of mourners. And, of course, they honored Kobe Bryant at the Super Bowl yesterday. Next Sunday, the Oscars, there will be another tribute.
Well, on Friday night, the Lakers played at home, and LeBron James did a masterful job delivering
a
eulogy wearing number 24 Kobe Bryant jersey. It was a very moving moment, I thought.
Yes, it was.
Dome at my concern.
The Kansas City Chiefs beat the San Francisco 49ers in Super Bowl 54. 31-20 was the final. KC's first championship in 50 years. Patrick Mahomes threw for two touchdowns, ran for another. He was named the MVP. Three times during this postseason, Mahomes and the Chiefs have trailed by 10 points or more. All three times they've come back to win by double digits, and that is a first. And Katie Sowers made history just by being at the big game. The 49ers offensive assistant became the first woman and first LGBT coach to appear at a Super Bowl. The trendsetter, just 33 years old, will likely have another chance at becoming the first woman to win a title.
Stand by for news.
And a lot of people weighing in on this. Jay-Z, a co-producer of the halftime show featuring Shakira and Jennifer Lopez, announced his Roc Nation company had entered a partnership with the NFL for events and social activism. That happened a while ago, so he had a hand in that halftime show. But he's getting a lot of backlash this morning. He has been one of the biggest supporters of Colin Kaepernick, who sparked that controversy in the NFL when he decided to kneel when the national anthem was played before games to protest the killings of blacks by police officers. And video of Beyonce and Jay-Z sitting while Demi Lovato sang the national anthem at the Super Bowl has surfaced online. TMZ posted the video yesterday along with their daughter Blue Ivy at Hard Rock Stadium. And Jay-Z has not commented on that. Beyonce, no comment on this yet. Jay-Z has said that he still supports protesting, kneeling, and Kaepernick, but he's also interested in working with the league to make substantial changes. And, you know, I admit to being kind of an old-fashioned, patriotic child of immigrants who came to this country through Ellis Island, so I have a hard time with this. But these days, I'm for anything that brings us together rather than divides us. And I think this is just another incident that divides us. We don't need that. And change through things like the power Jay-Z has to have a hand in the message of that halftime show, the empowerment of women and equality and recognizing the Latin and Hispanic element of the audience, you know, and the NFL gave him that power, and that's the way to use it. I think. I don't know what you think, but that's just my opinion.
And that's the way it is.
This has been the Top 6 at 6 with Bob Sirott on WGN Radio.
Good day. I get what they're doing. Don't get me wrong. I get what they're doing, but I just don't know if that's the right way to accomplish it. And also, I mean, against the backdrop of the Super Bowl and all of the sort of We Love America segments that they do, and, you know, I kind of like those. I do. When they played that Johnny Cash Tethered Old Flag, and you saw the images of the flag in different backgrounds, I got a few chills. It brought a tear to my eye, I must admit. I kind of like that. But be interested in your opinion on that as we move along here this morning. You can call us or text us at the same number, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. And the email here, bobshow@wgnradio.com, Bob Show, not Bob's Show. There's just one BS in the middle of that. Thank you. bobshow@wgnradio.com. Coming up a little later this morning, and again, if you can't be with us because, you know, you have to be at work or school, I'll be glad to give you a note, but I understand if you can't listen to the radio all day. We're going to talk to Dr. Kevin Most here momentarily. He's the Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine. Some interesting developments at the Consumer Electronics Show this year involving healthcare. And also, I want to get the doc's take on the coronavirus, and also a story I saw last week about the lifespan of Americans increasing, and what diseases are killing us more than others. And Adam Hogue, our Bears insider, will talk Super Bowl with us after 7 this morning, and we'll give away some Blackhawk tickets, too, coming up. And this this is also the day the music died, and it's the anniversary of the tragic plane crash that killed Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper and Richie Valens and the pilot of that plane. And we'll talk to the guy who emceed the final show those performers gave before they took off into the night, into tragedy. That'll be coming up also this morning. So it's good to have you aboard. More on the Super Bowl commercials coming up later as well. And the general consensus seems to be people enjoyed the Bill Murray Groundhog Day, the one that was filmed here in Woodstock, Illinois. And by the way, that was Bill's brother in there, too, Brian Doyle Murray. Fun seeing him. Not sure if it really sold any Jeeps, but people are talking about the commercial, aren't they? Are we in 5G today? I believe we are. Let's get some medical information right now, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Let's say good morning to Dr. Kevin Most. Hey, Doc, how you doing today?
Good, Bob. How about yourself?
Doing all right. And updating the coronavirus first. Let's talk about that. The death toll, 361.
Yep.
Confirmed cases in China, more than 17,000. China accusing the U.S. of spreading fear over the virus outbreak. Are we spreading fear, or are we reporting this as we should be? What do you think, Doc?
I think we're reporting it as we should be. It's interesting, Bob. You know, when I was preparing notes for even for last week at this time, we had 800 cases. So think about what's happened here. I do think the biggest concern that we have here in the United States is we don't even know what that true number is. So when you look at that 17,000, how many patients have symptoms in China and haven't reported it? How many really have been reported? Because that's where we start to get our concern when we look at the number of deaths compared to the number of cases. So right now, it would be nice to know the total number of cases. It would be nice if they told us there was 100,000 cases, because then our concern would definitely be lowered.
And is the advice still basically wash your hands, and wash your hands for at least a half a minute with warm water? What do you advise?
Yeah, we have to remember, you know, we have millions of cases of influenza going around in this country right now. And really, the chance of exposure to this virus is very low. We have more people that die from influenza than are dying from this disease. So we just really have to be aware. Let's not get all up in a tizzy, but it's very good to be educated about it, to know about it. And it also should be somewhat reassuring that we're looking at this and saying, okay, how can we stop it from spreading? So people are working on on vaccines already for this. They're looking at medications for this. So from a science point of view, we're a little bit ahead, but I think that we're still at the tip of the iceberg as far as how far and how wide this will spread.
Is it a pandemic? And what will make it a pandemic?
Yeah, it is determined to be a pandemic now. So we're looking at the amount of spread and the number of cases and how quickly it will spread. So right now, with the number of countries it's in, and that it is now going from human to human. So people that weren't at the ground zero, we'll say, or were not exposed right away, that exposure is now starting to spread. So, but still, if you look at the number of cases, if I'm not mistaken, we have like 11 in the United States. But also we are monitoring many people now, and we're trying to make sure that we put those people that we know are positive into an isolation state. Many of them don't need to be in a hospital. They could easily be in a hotel. And I think you'll actually get to a point where we have home confinement just so they're not exposing themselves to others.
And do most health professionals think it's still going to get worse before it gets better?
Yep. Yep, we all think it's going to get worse before it gets better. We know that, you know, if you look at MERS and SARS, we kind of have an idea of how this is going to spread. The issue of it being able to be spread before you had symptoms is the biggest concern. So obviously we had people that probably were exposed to the virus, were allowed to travel, and then they became sick. Well, how many people did they infect on the way? So that's one of our biggest concerns that we look at with any virus. If you take, for example, measles, if you put a person with measles in a room with 150 people that weren't vaccinated in the past, they could easily spread that to 100 people. Very highly contagious, fairly easily spread. Coronavirus does not appear to be that. It's not like we're hearing about people who were in an airport and this individual walked by that they're getting ill. So it doesn't seem to be able to be spread as quickly, but still there is that concern.
We're talking with Dr. Kevin Most, as we do every week here. He's the chief medical officer for Northwestern Medicine. Doc, I wanted to ask you about this story that we saw last week about life expectancy in this country up for the first time in 4 years, a small increase, just a month, but it marks what they say is a temporary halt to a downward trend. The rise is due to lower death rates for cancer and drug overdoses. What did you make of this story and the statistics that were mentioned here?
Yeah, you know, Bob, it's encouraging, but it's still a little disappointing. If you look at life expectancy between 2010 and 2018, we've been very stagnant. And if you think about that, what's happened in that time frame? Well, boy, the Affordable Care Act has come on so that we were able to avail screening to more people. So people that used to not be able to afford a colonoscopy, a mammogram, lung cancer screening can now have that done. You would have thought that we would have had a bigger increase. But it is very encouraging. You know, for the first time in 28 years, we've seen the number of drug overdose deaths go down. That being said, we still had 67,000 of them. So some of it is very good news. Some of it is still a little concerning. But, you know, let's see what we can do next year. But again, this is data from 2018, so it takes a year to compile the data. And I think you're going to start to see a bigger impact, at least at the opioids.
Americans who were 65 in 2018 are expected to live another 19 years and 6 months on average. And this is February. This is Heart Month. So as far as heart attacks go and heart disease, where are we there? Are things getting better or worse?
Yeah, they're getting a little bit better, but not so much. If you look at what we've done in heart disease and go back 25 years or go back 20 years, you know, the impact that we've made with the statin drugs to decrease our cholesterol levels, which decreases our blockage in the heart, what we've seen, the advances in what we are used to have open heart surgery, now our ability to put stent and drug-eluting stents and open up these arteries. And the other, probably the biggest thing, Bob, is we've made it difficult for people to smoke. So we've seen smoking rates go down, which we know is one of the number one causes for heart disease. But we've made it difficult for them to smoke. So that individual who used to be able to smoke two packs of cigarette very easily because they could smoke in restaurants in their office, now we're making it difficult. So we're not seeing the volume of smokers as far as the number of cigarettes that they're going to inhale in a day.
The 10 leading causes of death remain the same. Heart disease, number one.
Yep.
Death rate for heart disease declined slightly by less than 1%. And so as far as cancer, where are we with that?
Yeah. I think the big thing with cancer right now is the advancements that we have made in screening and diagnosis. We know that early diagnosis is going to help us with life expectancy from any cancer patient. So when we see, oh, you only made a 2% decrease in cancer deaths, but actually, when you look at that number, that's a very large number. And we really expect to see that happen, increase even more, as we're starting to sit there and say, wow, now we are having more ability to treat breast cancer that's found much earlier. Colon cancer that is found at an early stage, we're able to do the treatment actually just with a colonoscopy, because we're able to snare those cancerous polyps and actually eliminate the disease. So as we start to see more people get the screening done early and we identify cancer earlier, you're going to start to see that life expectancy for cancer rates go up. And great advancements actually in pediatric cancer as well, when you look at the leukemias and even some of the brain cancers that we're seeing in kids. And the life expectancy for them has definitely increased.
Cancer, the nation's number two killer behind heart disease. Doc, got a couple of interesting questions here for you. Let's get back to the coronavirus for a second. Let's see. Ask the doctor how this coronavirus plays out when it's under control. How does it get normalized? And how long do you think before that's going to happen, Doc?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's a great question. If you look at what happened with SARS, right? We saw this big number of cases of SARS, but that number of cases, although it got worldwide attention, was only about 8,000 cases. But of those 8,000 cases, we had 800 deaths, so we saw a 10% death rate from SARS, and then it was gone. It was gone within a year. So what you really hope you do is you're able to isolate these patients so that the virus doesn't spread anymore and that it just essentially peters out and goes away. The problem is that we have such widespread right now. So it's going to take more to contain. And in fact, there's many experts that are saying we're going to have to live with coronavirus now for years to come, and that we really need to start working on a vaccine just because we weren't able to contain it early and quick enough.
Text from 847. Let me grab it here. Would you please ask the doctor, when someone has influenza B, for instance, how long do they remain contagious?
So when you get influenza B, you're actually contagious just before you start noticing symptoms, and essentially all the way through the illness. So through the full 10 days of illness, you are still able to shed live virus. So those individuals, and one of the reasons we had such a bad year with the influenza so far this year, is that influenza B is kind of a little bit, in most people, a little bit moderate form instead of very mild to moderate instead of the extremes that we see with the influenza A. So we had people going to work and spreading it because they said, oh, I don't feel that bad, and yet they're still shedding the virus and exposing other people. So really, that person with influenza B, if they've been noted and tested and treated, that individual should really stay home, stay away from people for the full 10 days of the course. That being said, we do have medications now that can shorten the duration by a couple of days.
We're chatting with Dr. Kevin Most, Chief Medical Officer for Northwestern Medicine. It's 6:53. Doc, when is the peak of this? The flu season? Also, what's your guess as to when this coronavirus is going to peak as well?
Yeah, it's interesting. We've had one peak already for influenza. We had this big run-up of influenza B cases, and now we've seen everything kind of drop off. But now this is the time we all keep our fingers crossed, because if you remember last year, our peak for influenza last year was late February into March. So many are predicting that we're going to see an influenza peak strike up here again. As far as coronavirus, it's difficult to say, because like I said, think about it. Last week at this time, we were saying there were 800 cases. Even over the last 24 hours, we've seen a 20-30% increase in the number of reported cases. And if you look at our reported cases, even of influenza, those individuals who are sick but not really sick never go to the doctor, so never get counted in the tally. So if you look at the individuals who have coronavirus here in the United States, they're not overly sick. They're in the hospital, but really for isolation reasons. Would they even have sought medical help or medical advice if they hadn't been to China? Mm. Possibly not. So we don't know what that number is going to be and when it's going to peak.
We have quite a few questions about spring break, and Vietnam is a popular destination now. Here's a question that came in from the 847 area code. Is it safe for college students to travel to Thailand over spring break with the current coronavirus situation? And this question, I'm sure you're getting a lot now. And what would be your advice here?
Yeah, you know, I think as this plays out over the next couple of weeks, I think, unfortunately, you're going to see the Far East is going to be hit the hardest. You're going to see individuals who have left China and really haven't come to the States but have stayed in that area. So I would expect that you're going to see much higher numbers in the Vietnams, the Thailands, the Koreas of the world right now just because of the proximity and the ease of travel there. So if I was a parent of somebody whose child was going to go to Vietnam for spring break or a family considering that, I would say I would wait a year and at least let this play out. There's no reason to go into an area that may end up being fairly large numbers of this and get a virus that you haven't been exposed to. And also, you don't want to end up having to stay there because you were noted to be positive and now are put into isolation.
Are you expecting to treat many people for Super Bowl fever today, the football hangover, Doc?
Yeah, you know, Bob, most of the people for Super Bowl fever stay at home. That's one of those self-treated illnesses often, but I went to University of Kansas, so I'm very proud of the Kansas City Chiefs winning this. And, you know, one thing, too, I want to say about life expectancy, and it's a message for all of us, is we unfortunately have continued to see the number of suicides just increase and the number of drug overdoses actually have decreased, but still our need for mental health professionals, we need some of these young students that are in college right now to consider to go into psychiatry, psychology, social worker. We definitely need that to help our mental health illness outbreak right now that will definitely change a life expectancy as we see these suicides happening in young individuals.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. And also, and I've been talking about this too, we've got to still work on getting rid of the stigma just tell people it's okay to talk about these things. It's okay to see a therapist and encourage people to talk to friends about things that in the past folks have been too embarrassed to share with others. That's so important, isn't it?
100%. You know, if you go back decades, depression used to be, oh, you know, shake it off, come on, you'll be fine. We have to understand that it is an illness. This is a medical illness. There are reasons for people to have depression. It has nothing to do for the main part for how they were brought up or how they were raised. This is a medical illness that needs to be accepted and treated, just like if you have high blood pressure, just like you have heart disease. And unfortunately, this is one that can really impact someone's life. The individual who goes untreated for depression is not going to live up to the expectations that they would hope that they would have. And yet with simple treatment and with good follow-up, they can live a great life. And really, they are going to be the champions to lead us through to say, hey, you know what? I was depressed. I felt this way. I saw a professional or I had the opportunity to see a professional. And look where I'm at in my life. I think you'd be absolutely amazed if you Googled celebrities or famous people with depression. We need to really knock that stigma off and start to make treatment more accessible, but we need more social workers, psychologists, and psychiatrists.
Well said, Dr. Kevin Most. We'll talk to you again next week, Doc.
You got it, Bob. Take care. Have a good week.
You too. I feel like I'm reliving every weekday over and over and over again. It's 11 minutes after 7 o'clock.
I don't know. Well, that's true. Because you got me. Baby, I got you.
You can hear our entire broadcast again or anything you missed. If you just go to WGNRadio.com later, we post it in podcast form, WGNRadio.com. Adam Hoge, our Bears insider, is on the line. We'll get Dave Bennett in here in a moment to talk about the game. And did you enjoy the Bill Murray Jeep commercial last night, Adam?
That was actually probably my favorite commercial.
But
there weren't a lot of great ones, but I did really like that one.
Yeah. Did it really sell a Jeep, though? I mean, everybody's talking about that commercial this morning, but I don't know. I don't know if Jeep is going to have a big boost in sales, but we'll see.
Yeah, well, I have to say, my father, who's probably about Bill Murray's age, maybe a little bit older, saw that commercial and said, I want that car.
Okay.
So it may have worked.
I guess so. Adam Hoge, sponsored by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Dave?
Well, you were down there all week, Adam, so you got a first-hand look at the build-up for this game. And aside from the turnovers, I'm not sure there was anything that really happened in the game that should have been all that surprising. Anything that stands out to you?
No, I mean, honestly, that game played out very closely to what I thought would happen. I had the until Patrick Mahomes took over at the end, which, of course, is not surprising either, because that's basically the two scenarios that everybody talked about all week, the 49ers being able to control the game with their defense and their running game. That played out until Patrick Mahomes and that Chiefs offense exploded, which they've done, you know, all season and really the last two seasons, and especially in the playoffs, as they've now erased three deficits of at least 10 points in all three of their playoff games. So it was kind of a predictable game, but, you know, in a way, I mean, it was still close most of the way. And so from my standpoint, I still thought it was exciting.
All right. Go back to the end of the first half and the 49ers in sort of a delayed two-minute drill throw deep to George Kittle. At the time, looked like a really big play for them. And, of course, it got nullified by an offensive pass interference penalty. They ended up scoring anyway in the third quarter to take a 20-10 lead. They were 13-10, then 20-10 after the game was tied at halftime. But, you know, I think you look at maybe a couple of plays in the game that you could say were somewhat controversial, but really, I thought for the most part, it was pretty free of any real calls that would make you go, okay, that cost them the game. I think if there's one, that would be the one that San Francisco fans anyway would look back at and say, okay, that's the one. But otherwise, I thought it was a pretty clean game.
Yeah, I think you're right. And Bill Vinovich is a really good referee. The interesting thing about him getting the Super Bowl assignment was that he was the referee in the NFC Championship game last year, with that big pass interference, no call, that was such a big controversy and really sent the wrong team to the Super Bowl.
Yep.
But he's not the one who missed that call. He just happened to be the referee in that game. So the fact that, despite all that, he was assigned to the Super Bowl, I mean, I think speaks to how good of a referee he is. I agree with you. For the most part, it was a clean game. I did have an issue with that specific play. Look, by the letter of the law, it probably was offensive pass interference, but if you're going to make that call, you need to call that then the other 10 times it happened throughout the game, because those are just hand-fighting moments between a wide receiver and a cornerback, and it just happens all the time. It's just so ticky-tack, and so by comparison, they missed at least three shots to the quarterback's helmet in that game,
yeah.
Which I'm not necessarily calling missed calls. I like or calling them missed calls. I like that they're letting them play, because all of those honestly would have been ticky tack. But during the regular season, that was mostly a penalty almost every time that happened. So I don't necessarily like that they're calling things different in the Super Bowl compared to the regular season. I wish it could be more consistent. Honestly, the biggest problem I had with that moment in the game that you just brought up, Dave, is I just thought that Kyle Shanahan was way too conservative, let way too much time run off the clock. It is such an advantage to be able to score before halftime and then get the ball back and score again. Coaches love the double dip around halftime, and the fact that the 49ers barely even tried to move the football there was very confusing.
Adam Hoge, our Bears insider, was in Miami over the weekend. He joins us, Dave Ennett, on the sports desk this morning. Guys, I don't know whether you saw this at the beginning of the game. So they have that nice moment of silence, and then they immediately cut to a guy in the stands in a Lakers shirt. He sees himself on the scoreboard and starts laughing. Talk about ruining the mood. Note to the directors in the future, don't do that after a somber
right.
moment.
Yeah, that would be.
But other than that, it was an entertaining pregame. And, Adam, a pretty good game down to the wire, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I think that it lived up to the hype of the matchup that we talked about all week, and two mostly evenly matched teams. But the one thing that we also discussed the entire time was that the best quarterback in football right now is Patrick Mahomes, and he was on the Kansas City Chiefs. And even though I thought he struggled for, honestly, about 3.5 quarters, he turned it on late in the game, about 7 minutes to go, that big 3rd and 15. I believe Next Gen Stats showed that that unbelievably was the big, longest throw of the season for Patrick Mahomes. I think it traveled 54 yards through the air, the completion to Tyreek Hill. Man, if the 49ers get a stop there, 3rd and 15, they're sitting pretty. They get the ball back with 7 minutes to go with their running game. That was really the biggest play. It flipped the whole game around.
Yeah, I think they said he was like 12 yards back. Then he stepped up a yard or two and heaved it. Yeah, I mean, there's no question that was the biggest play. And I think it just... I said this earlier, Adam. I mean, it's got to be something that really is encouraging and comforting to the NFL to know that this guy's not 25 years old yet, because this is not just another quarterback. This is a guy who and who knows what the future holds. But if he stays healthy, this guy has a rare ability. And when you can play a subpar game, and for him it was a subpar game for probably three quarters, probably three and a half quarters, but then to be able, against a very good defensive team, to come up with a big play like that, and then on the next drive to go 5 for 5 passing, I mean, it really does, I think, send a warning to the rest of the NFL. The Chiefs aren't going away anytime soon.
Well, and the thing that continues to impress me about Patrick Mahomes is just how he doesn't flinch. We had his agent, Lynn Steinberg, on our show yesterday on WGN, and we discussed that, like, where that comes from. And, you know, he was raised by a Major League Baseball pitcher. He's been around in the spotlight forever. And I just think something about that background is why he... Look, most quarterbacks playing in their first Super Bowl, struggling for most of the game against a defense that really seemed to have his number and caused some confusion. I mean, those interceptions were bad interceptions.
Yep.
And he just, fourth quarter, doesn't care. I mean, 3rd and 15, I give Peter King credit. He had a story this morning on his Football Morning America column. He called that play, apparently. He wanted that play. So, you know, where most quarterbacks would lose confidence and struggle to finish, he did the absolute opposite of that, rising to the occasion in the biggest moment of his career. And that's why I was perfectly okay with Patrick Mahomes getting the MVP. There's a sort of a debate because he didn't play great the whole game, but I don't know what he did in the last 7 minutes. He's the MVP to me.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. And by the way, Jimmy Garoppolo in his first Super Bowl, he didn't play terribly. I thought he played pretty well for the most part, but just at the end, Mahomes kind of took it away from him, and you know, he hit the last by the time. They got the ball down 24-20 through that interception. At that point, they're just trying to make a play, and that's going to happen. But, he'll probably get another chance down the road.
Well, he's on a good team, and he's much better than he gets credit for. But he's not the superstar that Patrick Mahomes is. And that was where the contrast came in, the last 7 minutes, because whereas Mahomes stepped up and made those plays, Jimmy Garoppolo – I thought he had one overthrow to the right on third down where he had George Kittle, his number one tight end, cutting across the middle and just missed him. And I actually thought he missed George Kittle a few times in that game. And then the one throw that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to probably be losing sleep over for a long time. He had Emmanuel Sanders open for a touchdown. He wasn't incredibly open, but he was open enough. And that's the type of play where in those moments, it always seems like Patrick Mahomes makes the play. And unfortunately for Jimmy Garoppolo, the local kid from Arlington Heights, he overthrew him by a lot.
Yeah, and it almost seemed like Sanders never saw the ball either on that play. So the odds are out, Bob. The odds are out for the 2020 season, the 2021 Super Bowl.
And Adam,
I don't know if you've seen these yet. The co-favorites are the 49ers, the Chiefs, and the Ravens, all at 7-1. And if you go down the list a bit,
oh no,
you'll see at 30-1, The co-15th choice, the Chicago Bears.
Well,
along with the Bills, Falcons, Chargers, and Raiders.
A lot can happen before next season.
Yeah,
lot can
happen.
Did you see Mike Ditka? Mike Ditka and Don Shula were among those on the NFL 100 team honored before the game. It was kind of sad to see Don Shula. Obviously, he can't walk around anymore, but he certainly looked happy, didn't he?
Yeah, and I'll bring up, too, that Virginia McCaskey making it into a Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah, how about that?
Was pretty cool. And the Bears released a behind-the-scenes video. That last scene in that commercial, the NFL 100 commercial, was filmed actually at the Walter Payton Center at Hallis Hall. They had Peyton Manning, Mean Joe Green, go there with the kid that's featured in the commercial with a green screen behind them, so they kind of showed the behind the scenes of how they filmed that last part of that commercial. So very cool to see Virginia McCaskey in the Super Bowl commercial.
Yeah, and that was very, very cool, that intro to the game, the 12-year-old YouTube sensation, Bunchy Young, and that video, as you said, Adam, ending up with Virginia McCaskey. That was a nice moment for us here in Chicago, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Unfortunately, I think the Bears had much higher aspirations for their 100th season. But you know what? I will say overall, the NFL did a pretty good job of how they celebrate. This whole thing from start to finish, the 100th year, was pretty cool. And going back to Dave, to your point, Patrick Mahomes right now is the face of the NFL.
Yep.
So it was pretty fitting that he won the Super Bowl and got the MVP.
Yeah, and all together now for Bears fans. Dave, Adam, you want to do it with me? Wait till next year. Adam Hogue.
I think we're already resigned to that, Bob, even before last night.
Thanks. Yep. Adam, you have a good day. Thanks very much.
All right, you too.
Hey, dust off the sunglasses. This is the first weekday we've seen that thing in the sky in quite a while, isn't it?
Here comes the sun, doo-doo. Here comes the sun, I say, it's all right.
And it does feel good. How you doing today? 7:38. Bob Surratt with you. We have a pair of Blackhawks tickets to give away. Let's do it this way. First person to call in and give us the answer to this question. What were we just talking about a few minutes ago? The cringeworthy moment on the Super Bowl right before kickoff. All right. Do you remember that? If you do and you're the first caller, you get the Blackhawks tickets. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. And the tickets are for the Hawks-Rangers game coming up on Wednesday the 19th. Last night during the Super Bowl, that Tom Brady commercial kind of explained the tweet that people were talking about last week. He's not going anywhere, is he? It doesn't appear anyway.
No, so the tweet was a picture of Brady, a silhouette, standing in what appeared to be the tunnel of an NFL stadium, an empty stadium. You couldn't tell if he was leaving or entering the stadium, but that wasn't...
Yeah.
That didn't stop anybody from speculating that this was some kind of a sign that Brady was leaving New England, or he was leaving the NFL, or he was going to a new team, and...
We should have known it was for a commercial.
It was for Hulu, right?
Yeah, right. So. You know, it's hard to remember what these, you know, what the product was in some of these commercials. People talk about the commercial or they're entertained, but does it really sell? We're going to talk to an ad agency guy about that after 8 o'clock today. But Tom Brady's coming back. He's not.
Well, he's coming back, and the New England Robert Kraft says he wants to re-sign him in New England, and I got to think that if he. He's got the wherewithal to do it, Bob, so yeah. I would think that, you know, the odds are he'll end up back there.
What is he, 39?
He's 40. 40. 40.
41?
I want to say he's 42.
Like oh, really? All right.
Cool. Tony Romo's, what, 39, isn't he? Isn't he up there?
Yeah, but he does not play anymore.
Right, right.
Okay.
Brady is 42, yes.
42 now.
Oh, my gosh.
We like that. Here's Sean in Arlington Heights. Sean, what were we just talking about a few minutes ago that had me cringing?
The guy wearing the L.A. Lakers jersey and laughing on the big screen.
Yeah, right after the moment of silence. Did you cringe?
I didn't cringe because I didn't see it, but
yeah, well, it's a good thing you missed it. It wasn't a great moment. Since you were the first caller in with the right answer, Sean, you get some Blackhawks tickets. How about that?
Awesome. That's great.
Courtesy Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing for all the right reasons. Four Seasons. Find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingAndCooling.com. And we'll set you up to see the game on Wednesday night, the 19th of February. Hawks are making a run for it, aren't they?
They sure are.
All right, Sean, you hang
on. Thank you, Bob.
Thank you very much. Are you off to work right now?
I just pulled in the parking lot.
Where do you work?
In Arlington Heights.
And
design firm.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
yeah.
Have a nice day designing. All right. And you hold on for
Thank
us.
You.
And we'll get all the information
sure.
we need to get you those Blackhawks tickets. This is the 3rd of February, and a lot of people remember the day the music died. We'll get into that with somebody who became part of music history because of what happened actually on the night of February 2nd. I think you're going to enjoy our conversation with somebody who is an old familiar Chicago voice. We'll get to that momentarily.
Just you know why.
February 3rd, 1959, 12:55 a.m., plane crash killed Buddy Holly, Richie Valens, and the Big Bopper. We're going to talk about that right now. Bob Hale was one of the original rock DJs on the Big 89 back in the 60s. He went on to have a long TV career at NBC5. Before he got to Chicago, though, he was a 24-year-old DJ in Mason City, Iowa, and it's what happened there on February 2nd and 3rd in 1959 that linked Bob Hale to rock and roll history. Bob, it's great to have you with us this morning. How you doing?
I think I'm a little warmer where I am than you are, but I'm fine. It's one of those days when the memories come back, and you kind of wish you didn't have those memories. It's a lousy way to get noticed.
Yeah.
I suppose notarized, too.
Yeah, well, that, too. Bob, take us back to what Don McLean famously called the day the music died. It was February 2nd that there was a big show at the Surf Ballroom in Clear Lake, Iowa, and you were the MC, weren't you?
Yeah, I had every Wednesday, usually, we had a record hop, usually with local bands. But the Surf Ballroom was part of a chain of ballrooms, which also included the Aragon in Chicago.
Yeah.
And so people loved to flock to ballrooms for a dance or a show.
Yeah, that show was actually in Chicago before it came to Clear Lake. It played at the Aragon, and you not only were the MC, but you were involved in the promotion, weren't you?
Yeah, we had. I was doing an afternoon show at KRIV in Mason City, and every week I was a host of a different kind of show. Most of it rock and roll, but I also got invited to come and MC some of the Saturday night big band dances at the Surf. So a 250-watt radio station made life pretty exciting and busy for me in Clear Lake. And when the manager of the ballroom called me one day and said, do you think we ought to book the show that they are making available to us because they're on a tour? And they ticked off the names of everybody who was available. And I said, yeah, well, I think we should book it. Try to book it for a week if you could. But they were on a bus tour traveling. By the way, Bob, I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of the bus, but even back in those days, it was a bus that I'm not sure I would travel from Lake Street to Madison Street. I think I'd gotten off and walked.
Yeah.
It was breaking down a lot on them. And when they got to the surf, they were a tired bunch of people.
Yeah, let's talk about what happened that led to the plane crash and the fate of Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper and Richie Valens. And also a couple other people were on the tour and didn't get on the plane. What happened after the show? And this would have been the last time you saw them. Talk about the coin toss.
Well, there was a backstage at the surf ballroom. There was a little conference between the performers as to who was going to fly. Well, obviously, Buddy was. It was his idea. And the guys started to talk among themselves. So there was a contest as to who was going to, Richie and one of the members of the band, as I recall. It starts to get a little vague, Bob, by the way, as you get a little older, I can warn you.
Mm-hmm. I can imagine. It's a long time ago. Yeah.
Confused. But there was a coin toss, and Richie won the coin toss, and Richie quickly gathered his stuff, and he got in the car also with Buddy. And Big Bopper and the others headed for the bus, which they were all very unhappy about. The heater didn't work. The bus had broken down on the way around the Midwest. And so the airplane was sort of a luxury item for them to be able to rent it very inexpensively, as I recall. And the rest of the staff said, well, yeah, that's good. Have fun. And one of the members of the cast who didn't get on the airplane said, yeah, I hope your plane crashes.
Hmm. Wow.
And we all remember that one the next day. We didn't think anything of it that night. But the next day, that came back to haunt those of us who heard it.
Waylon Jennings said that. He was on the tour, and so was Dion DiMucci, wasn't he?
Yeah, Dion was there, and we had a reunion many, many years later, and we all sat around and recounted that night. And the question has always remained for those of us who were involved in it in any way is, why? How come?
Yeah, right.
And you get into the technical aspects of it, the weather, which is pretty much what everyone who was there that night believes was the cause. The what did we call it back then? The civil aviation?
Civil aeronautics.
No, anyway, the predecessor of the FAA said that the weather, maybe the pilot was inexperienced, but nobody could really tell. The plane crashed. They didn't have recorders on the planes like we do today, so there was a lot of speculation. There was one, it was sort of humorous, there was one theory that cropped up that there had been a fight on the airplane. Now you got to think about that. Everybody on the airplane was killed, and yet we had people who read about it, heard about it, who know that there was a fight on the airplane, and how would they know? Nobody survived.
It's gone into legend, and people still visit the crash site. They were going to the next show in Moorhead, Minnesota. The plane crashed, as we mentioned, shortly after midnight, not far from Clear Lake, Iowa, correct?
Well, they were really on the outskirts of Clear Lake on Mr. Jewell, J-U-H-L, I guess is how he spelled it, was a farmer, and it crashed on his farm. It appears that the plane went up, obviously it went up, but that it may have been forced down by wind shear. But now the wind shear concept, nobody knew about then. That came up later. And so when the aviation officials began to figure out wind shear around the world, they said, well, gee, maybe that was the cause of the plane crash in Iowa. And many of the experts believe that that was most likely the reason. It was a stormy night, and a lot of snow.
Mm.
And I remember Kathy and I driving home, and Kathy said, you know, I hope the guys got off the ground before this came into town.
Bob, did you actually flip the coin? Because there are a lot of stories about this. Were you the one who flipped that coin?
Yeah, there was. I had the coin in my pants pocket. And, yeah, I flipped the coin.
Wow, it's Bob Hale, who many of us remember here from his days on radio and TV in Chicago. And what's the answer to the question, where is he now? What's he doing? You mentioned it's warmer where you are. Where exactly are you, Bob?
Well, I'm down in Louisiana right now visiting my daughter. Lori is the daughter, and she and her husband are instructors down here in Florida at the university. And so we're down visiting the grandchildren and the dogs that are here and are thankfully quiet as we talk. So we're visiting them for a day or two, then coming right back to the Chicago area.
Well, yeah.
I don't want to miss too much of the Chicago winter.
No, don't do that. Well, thanks for sharing some memories. It was a long time ago. You were a 24-year-old DJ, and you emceed that what turned out to be the last show for those folks. And I know you've talked about this many times and been back to the scene. And it's a memory that I'm sure fades for you over time, but it's one that you can't forget, can you?
Well, I appreciate the fact you keep bringing up the incident, not because of the incident, but because of the talent that we lost. And it's a reminder of how much talent we had back in those days. And boy, those guys were singular in their specific talents. And think of where they'd be today if they were still performing. They'd be on the top yet.
Yeah, they were so young, weren't they? So young.
Oh, my goodness sakes.
Yep.
Yeah, I look back at see some of the pictures that were taken that night, pictures my wife took, how young they were, and where would they be today? You know, we all say that, but I think they'd still be pretty much on top.
1959's Winter Dance Party at the Surf Ballroom in Clear Lake, Iowa. Bob Hale was the MC. Bob, great catching up with you, and continued good health to you.
Thank you, Bob, and have a lot of fun. Keep doing good things on the radio station.
We're trying. Appreciate it. You have a great day. And we'll get to Dean Richards and the entertainment news of the day and more Super Bowl commentary after the news. Good morning. It is almost 8:11. Dean Richards has the entertainment report today. Dean, at halftime, did you think you were watching a replay of the J-Lo movie Hustler?
Was.
Yeah.
Wasn't sure what I was watching for a minute there, but I enjoyed every minute of it.
Yeah, so did I. You know, it was funny because they mentioned that I think Super Bowl I, the halftime entertainment was Carol Channing.
Right.
I don't think she did pole dancing, did she?
No, she certainly did not. Up with People, no pole dancing.
Yeah, that's right. Well,
Al Hurt, no pole dancing.
it was flashy. I'll say that.
I liked it. You know, some people are saying that it was too erotic, and there's just a whole variety of, you know, everybody's going to have an opinion on whatever it is. It was pure showmanship. It was spectacularly performed and presented. Pure athleticism. Jennifer Lopez is 50 years old.
Yeah, that's unbelievable, isn't
she
it?
She is a remarkably strong woman.
Did you see her holding up? Did you see them holding her butt up a couple times though when she was on the pole? I was like, whoa.
I was thinking about those people in the crowd who got to help her. Help in quotes.
Yes, but she's.
We'd like you to hold Jennifer Lopez's butt.
Okay, since half of it's sticking out anyway.
Hey, yeah. Shakira, not bad either.
You know what? Plenty of times on that pole, though, nobody was holding her up.
That's true.
Yes, it's true. She is strong, and she's a great dancer.
The stamina to be able to. To do a show like that is remarkable, and flips and cartwheels. Really, my only criticism is the lip syncing. And yep. If you're going to do that much choreography, you sort of have to do lip syncing.
Yeah, they couldn't breathe.
Yeah, you would never be able to breathe and to be able to sing while you're doing anything like that.
Hey, I couldn't breathe, and I was just watching.
Bob had oxygen. Oxygen was required in the Surratt household.
Yes. But
as you also say, Shakira also was amazing. Let's take a listen to a little of both of them. I'm still Jenny from the block. Used to have a little, now I have a lot. No matter where I go, we from the Bronx, New York. Yeah. But tonight, when you would be here in my arms. If you go hard, you gotta get on the floor. I can absolutely verify that Shakira's hips definitely did not lie during any part of that performance last night.
It captured the flavor of Miami. And I didn't know, I guess I was the only one who didn't know, that was J-Lo's daughter.
Yeah, the little girl who was singing when they brought the kids out. Right, you know, because right after you do pole dancing, you want to bring a lot of kids out.
that was the one part stage. That really kind of was bad.
It was family-friendly, Mary.
I don't know. That's her daughter. What is she doing up there?
It's, you know, the kids don't know what the pole is. They just think it's aerobic exercising.
Hold on, Dean. I want to talk more about the Super Bowl, the commercials. And also, Dean Richards has a Wrigley Field concert to tell us about, just announced.
It was no chance encounter. Alligator Rob reveals the secret tool he used to capture Chance the Snapper last summer in Humboldt Park. Tonight on WGN TV News at 9.
8:19. One more thing about the not necessarily family-friendly halftime show last night. Dean Richards, how many guys do you think hit pause, rewound on the DVR, looked at a still shot of parts of that halftime show last night?
The beautiful part of technology that we have now. That it's not a big deal to rewind it like you used to have to do with VCRs.
It's easy.
It's easy to go back to, you know, a certain part. I know we got a lot of music. Like aficionados, and they want to hear certain passages of songs. It had nothing to do with the belly dancing that was going on,
and the low camera angle.
Shakira with that rope dance that she did.
Yeah, what was the deal with that? I thought it was like a python or something. It almost looked snake-like.
You know what? It was actually belly dancing.
Yeah, it was belly dancing.
It was traditional belly dancing.
Yes.
I mean, that's the thing about this show. I mean, we can make a joke around about the so-called eroticism of the show. But it was a celebration of Latin culture and music and dance. And there's a great deal of pride in Latin communities about these two women who are both Latinx, who are celebrating and highlighting their cultures today. So it's a very proud moment for a lot of people last night.
And it was perfect for Miami. It really was.
Yeah.
I know the best Super Bowl commercial that Dean Richards picked was Victory Auto Records.
How about that right after the halftime show?
But
I'm asking for a raise today. I'm on a Super Bowl commercial.
Other than that, what caught your eye?
You know what? Well, here's, you know, they do this thing called Ad Meter. It's something that advertising agencies use to rate the effectiveness of their commercials. Some people respond to the commercials. They have their top commercials that are out today. And then the commercial that people responded to most positively last night was the Bill Murray commercial, the Bill Murray Jeep Groundhog Day commercial. That was only shot last week up in Woodstock with Bill, you know, reprising his role from the movie. They brought back Bill's brother, Brian Doyle Murray, was part of the spot. The guy that played Ned Ryerson was back in the commercial. And Steve Dahl, by the way, did the voice on the radio, the DJ on the radio, when the radio clicks on, is Chicago's own Steve Dahl.
You know what? I didn't catch that. I missed that.
Got many emails about it yesterday.
Nice.
Yeah, many
way to
people
go,
telling
way
me.
To go, Stever.
Yeah, that's kind of a nice thing. So it was Groundhog Day. It was that Hyundai Smart Park commercial, which I thought was hilariously funny. The Google commercial, it's called Loretta, about a couple when they were younger, and they were showing old pictures of this couple as they were getting older and as they were growing up. A very sweet commercial. The Doritos Cool Ranch commercial with Old Town Road.
The MC Hammer one. That was Cheetos.
That was Cheetos popcorn. That
was my favorite. That was the only one I physically laughed at.
Yeah, I liked it. I don't.
When the baby, don't touch this, and the baby's got a dirty diaper.
MC Hammer's.
MC Hammer. I loved it.
Face pops out of it.
That was funny.
Which were the other ones? That the one with Ellen DeGeneres, what was like life like before?
Alexa, that was Alexa, yeah.
That was clever, and that's one of the few where you actually remembered the product as well.
Right, that's the thing with a lot of these commercials.
I like
they're
that.
Very clever commercials, but can you remember what you're supposed to be buying? That NFL commercial called The Next 100, mm-hmm. with the young man with kind of the bleached hair running through the streets, that rated very highly last night. The commercial with Jason Momoa, Aquaman, who starts peeling off his muscles and peeling off, it takes off his wig, and he's a little scrawny guy.
That kind of grossed me out a little bit, but I thought the end was funny with Lisa Bonet helping him lift a weight.
Yeah, right. He couldn't lift a weight that didn't have any weights on the bar.
That was good.
It was very funny, yeah. So those were the highest rated ranking commercials from last night. My personal favorite last night, I love that Bryan Cranston commercial for Mountain Dew.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Which they spoofed the Shining with Tracy Ellis Ross, who I thought was hilarious. He's chopping through the door with a knife, and she's trying to hit him with a toilet brush. It's very funny.
Yeah, we're gonna talk more about those commercials with an ad agency veteran in a couple minutes here. How about all those movie commercials?
Yeah, we got first looks at a lot of new movies, including Scarlett Johansson's Black Widow. That'll be out in May. The Fast and Furious movie edition, the ninth in the franchise, which is called F9. That's going to be out on May 22nd. Got a first look at the new James Bond movie, which is coming out. Those were the major ones for new movies that were coming out.
You know, they spend so much money buying the time, so much money on production, and they just keep trying to top one another. But in general, the comment that I've seen going around social media has been, overall not that impressed with them as a whole.
I agree. I think it was just an okay year for commercials. I think that the sparkle and the magic of the commercials has seen better days, partially because they release most of the commercials ahead of time, that you can see them online. The advertisers want to get as many impressions as they possibly can, so they release them ahead of time. So it's not that big of a surprise when things come out. But, usually there's one commercial that really touches your heart, that, really is a standout for, sweet and emotional, and one that is, just so hilariously funny that it stands out of the bunch. And I'm not really sure that anything so much stood out of the bunch. If it wasn't for Bill Murray, I'm not sure anyone would be remembering that Jeep commercial.
Yeah, and the Google commercial did pull at your heartstrings. Remember, and the pictures of the couple through the years.
Yeah, those were. But I mean, sometimes some of those old Budweiser commercials, where the dog would be the dog would be with the Clydesdales, and it was like so sweet, and like it almost made you cry to watch some of these commercials. I personally did not get any of those. I thought they were okay. I think that, you know, Shakira or Jennifer Lopez in any of the commercials would have added to
you know, well, that J-Lo commercial for the Hard Rock.
Yeah, that
was pretty wild. Well, but like you say, it used to be, well, now you see them beforehand, and it used to be that a couple would stand out, but now everybody's pouring a ton of money into them, so, right, you know, one doesn't just stand out.
Yeah.
What's the concert news this morning?
That just came out about 20 minutes ago. And we are going to get a Guns N' Roses concert at Wrigley Field this year. It's going to be on July 26th, 6 p.m. We do not have information on when this is going to go on sale, but I'm going to guess pretty soon. If it's a July concert, they're going to want to get moving with tickets on this. So stay tuned, and we'll keep everybody posted on what that is. And so welcome to the jungle.
Are you hearing much about the video that I guess TMZ posted at first of Beyonce and Jay-Z sitting while Demi Lovato sang the national anthem?
Yeah, that's actually becoming a bigger and bigger story. Demi Lovato, I thought, did a great job with the national anthem, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, within just a few minutes of her performance, the internet was buzzing that it was, you know, they were comparing her to Whitney Houston's national anthem performance back in, was it 1991? Was it 1991, I think?
Something like that.
Whitney Houston sang. But anyway, notable for the national anthem, as they were shooting around the crowd, TMZ Sports shot some of their own video panning through the crowd. Beyonce, Jay-Z, and their little daughter, Blue Ivy, seated during the national anthem, not standing during the national anthem, which is, was it a statement? Was it, you know, just, you know, something innocent? Jay-Z is now in partnership with the NFL. You know, people were saying that he went light on Colin Kaepernick and then went into partnership with the NFL, that he was in cahoots with them. So, not in cahoots, that implies something bad, but he's in partnership.
Yeah, right.
He's in partnership with them.
He co-produced the halftime show, didn't he?
He co-produced the halftime show. I mean, he's very involved. So for somebody who is so ingrained with the NFL now, to be seated during the national anthem, that's becoming a story. So we'll see where that leads us.
It's Dean Richards on the Entertainment Beat over there at WGN-TV today. Appreciate it, Dean. You have a good day. Yep, we'll talk to you tomorrow. And let me get in a reminder here about the big Wintrust game, Wintrust's Crosstown Series Arizona Fan Flyaway. This spring, Chicago's hometown baseball rivalry heads to Arizona. One lucky fan, could be you, wins a trip for two to Phoenix, including airfare, hotel, and tickets to the Wintrust Crosstown Series game. That'll be March 13th. You can register right now at WGNradio.com/contests. Dave, are you going to be there for this? Are you trying to weasel your way out there?
I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind. I don't know if you noticed Fox last night promoting the Field of Dreams game between the White Sox and Yankees.
Saw that.
In Iowa. With a clip from the movie Field of Dreams.
I'd like to go to that one.
Well, I think we should do the show there.
And isn't there a Cubs game in London or something?
Yeah, Cubs are playing the Cardinals in London. We can go there, too, if you want.
Well, we have a lot of work to do after 9 o'clock. The Wintrust Crosstown Series Arizona Fan Flyaway, sponsored by Wintrust Chicago's Bank and presenting sponsor of the Wintrust Crosstown Series. A little bit more now on those Super Bowl commercials. We have with us a jaded advertising semi-professional, Gary Schatz. Can we stick in veteran in there, too?
Absolutely.
Okay. Absolutely. Well,
that's the nicest compliment anybody's ever said about my advertising career.
Well, you're the guy in the business. Overall, the Super Bowl commercials last night, what was your overview?
It was interesting. There were a couple laugh-out-louds. There were a couple of groaners, for sure. I tend to gravitate towards, well, you know, more towards the funnier stuff. Stuff like the New York Life that was just dripping with emotion just gets, it's a little draining. Like, it's a Sunday, I want to watch football and be entertained. Don't make me think so much about this.
Yeah, I mean, I was talking about this earlier this morning. The commercials, most of them either sell the product or entertain, but very few do both. And I guess most of them entertain, don't they?
They do. I mean, this is the rare television moment where, especially sports moment, where people are not getting up and going to the bathroom
right.
at the commercials. They're sticking around and watching. So entertainment is definitely at the top. And you're right. There's always the issue of that was a great spot. What was it for again? And I, you know, if we want to talk about the best ones, this one for me nailed it, probably nailed it for a lot of people in Chicago. This is certainly, you know, Bill Murray, a favorite son. The Jeep ad was great, not just because it was funny and entertaining and, you know, used Bill Murray to his full comedic prowess, but it was definitely on brand. I thought the way they seamlessly wove the Jeep brand message into the movie without compromising what the movie was about, it really played well into that. And then they didn't skimp on the talent. They didn't just hire Bill, which I'm sure cost them a lot. Mm-hmm. But they hired his brother, you know, to revise his role as the mayor. And then, of course, hiring Stephen Tobolowsky as everyone's favorite insurance salesman, Ned Ryerson, was really, really great, really well done.
Our unscientific poll this morning had that place number one.
There's no place for science in advertising, let me assure you.
you would know about that, right?
Well, I would and I wouldn't. I try to not pay attention to it.
Other hits and misses?
You know, I really liked Little Caesars. Little Caesars, that was very on brand for them. They do a lot of sort of quirky, funny stuff to play up a very simple message. I mean, the message is simply now they deliver, which, believe it or not, was something they didn't do before. And I'm sure that they're trying to bite into a little bit of what Postmates and Grubhub and those places are doing by saying, we'll just do it ourselves. I thought making it the best thing since sliced bread and how they played that out. Rainn Wilson, great casting call for him to be sort of the king of sliced bread and how great it was. It was really funny.
In your experience in the ad business, have you been in meetings where people kick around different ideas for these commercials? Because much is made of the money they pay for 30 seconds, $5.6 million or whatever it is. But they're spending a fortune, much more than that, on production, aren't they?
Actually, the media buy is usually more expensive than the production of the ad when celebrities are not involved. Depending on who you hire to do that, like I said, that Jeep ad, I'm sure that cost more to get Bill and his brother and Stephen Tobolowsky and get the right, you know, they had to have the rights to sort of use the movie in that way. That one probably did.
But some of the effects and the production on these.
Some of those, yes, it goes, you know, the idea of spending that much money on a commercial, it's like anything. It's a value proposition. So you have to decide, is it worth it to your brand to spend that much money? It's no different than when you're buying a car. People buy expensive cars for lots of reasons. They buy them because they can't afford it. They buy it because they spend all day in their car. Maybe their commute's an hour or they're a salesperson, they're making calls. It's worth it to them. It's that value proposition. So if you're a brand that says it's going to be worth it to us, then you find a way to spend that money.
More on the hits and misses from last night, courtesy Gary Schatz. Jaded advertising, semi-professional. Now, I'll put in veteran of the ad business.
All right. I appreciate that.
One more thing on those Super Bowl commercials with ad guy Gary Schatz. Can we call you a madman? Are you one of the madmen?
You know, I used to drink at lunch, but it just made me really, really tired. And that was when I was younger. I certainly can't do it now.
No. Let's talk about hits and misses from last night. What'd you like? What didn't you like? What did you think was effective and what wasn't?
I saw another one that I really liked was the Hyundai, the Smartpak commercial. You know, celebrity use is always interesting. There's certain ads where you don't really need that celebrity in there, like the Maisie Williams one or the Post Malone or Kobe Smulders. You could have done those ads without them and the same thing would have happened. But casting three Bostonians to really get into their deep Southie accent. It was a little jarring to see Captain America sound like Will Hunting.
Yeah, park the car. People in Boston must have loved it.
I'm sure they loved it. You know, it's always good when it's their own making that. You know, if somebody else does that, then it's carpet banging. Well, but that was a good spot.
I'd say, you know, my take on everything was everybody's doing the big production, and it's all too much. The product gets lost. Who remembers? It's like they're all trying to outdo each other now as far as the entertainment factor.
Yeah, you know, spots like the P&G conglomerate, where they tried to fit every one of their products into one ad, and also the hummus ad, where they had so many celebrities, and I'm playing fast and loose with the word celebrity.
Yeah, I was confused.
My 12-year-old had to tell me that one of them was a YouTuber, because I don't know.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's so many quick cuts to try to get everything in. It becomes this frenetic thing where you're almost, you're struggling to try to make sense of what's actually going on and what the point of it is. Now, that said, it's hard for me to say anything bad about the hummus ad, because I got all the love for Nature Boy Ric Flair. Because I'm a middle-aged white dude, and I grew up with that stuff.
Okay.
So that was good.
So that worked for you.
That did. The ones that didn't work, the Heinz, four ads at once. It just felt like these are four terrible ads, but we bought the space. So let's just put them on at the same time, and maybe nobody will notice how bad they are. I felt the Planters funeral really fell flat for me. I mean, they came out of nowhere deciding to kill their 100-plus-year-old mascot, and you think they're going to start something new, and instead they sort of baby Yoda'd us and had the little Planters kid come out of the thing. They did what a lot of ads did, bringing in other iconic brands into their spot. It didn't live up to the hype that was there. When Wesley Snipes threw his eulogy papers in frustration, I felt his frustration.
Well, you know, the story there was they had a big online campaign going about the death of Mr. Peanut. Then they pulled that in the wake of the Kobe Bryant tragedy, but still went with this commercial, which probably would have made more sense had the online campaign run.
Well, and that one, you did see that earlier, because they started airing that before, I believe it was before the tragedy, so you could see that online. But I understand that's why they didn't run the original crash and explosion, which also felt weird to me. But I don't want to go down this path of we're too PC now, because we should be PC. People forget that the reason we're trying to be politically correct is because we used to say terrible things about people for terrible reasons.
Yeah, good point.
We shouldn't stop doing that.
Yeah. And then some of these commercials that pull at your heartstrings. I thought Budweiser was memorable. I thought Google was memorable. What did you think?
Yeah, those are two not controversial, but eliciting a lot of responses. The Bud ad, I think people forget that we're only 2 years away from the Budweiser Super Bowl ad being a celebration of their immigrant history, when immigration was an incredible hot button topic. And now they've gone 180 degrees the other way, maybe tapping in a little more to their core audience. This wasn't just a USA, USA ad. This was kind of a little more jingoistic. It was almost like we're the USA, and what are you going to do about it?
Mm-hmm.
Really, really a departure. The Google ad, I struggled with. I know a lot of people were getting all the feels for it. And
that was the couple, the pictures,
yeah,
the ears.
And, you know, it was all texting, it was all voice stuff said to the Google. It was very emotional for a lot of people. You saw a lot of people online talking about, my grandmother's name was Loretta, and it really reached out to them. But it almost glossed over the fact that this is a company, like other digital companies, that are under tremendous pressure and fire for their data collection policies, for how they then use that data and sell that data. And here's a company that's basically saying, yeah, tell us everything, especially tell us everything, older person, somebody who's the most vulnerable to online scams. Give us all your information. Like, that really felt tone deaf to me.
And what were they trying to tell us? What was the message there? To use Google search more?
I think it's more that Google is trying to become, like Amazon, an indispensable part of your life.
So it's more of an image.
It's an image thing, but they're using a very specific element, a very specific feature of Google, that you can tell us stuff to remember, and we'll remember it for you, senior citizen who's losing his mind. I understand the emotional appeal of it, and it was well done, but it really, for me, it was like, oh my God, they're almost bragging that they're collecting our data, and they don't care what they're doing with it, and they don't want us to care either.
You were in the business. Is it more desirable to have your commercial early in the game or late in the game? Now, late in the game is great if it's a good game like last night, but you could be out of luck if it's a blowout. I was thinking of that when I saw the Facebook commercial with Chris Rock and Sylvester Stallone, which I thought was pretty cool, but that was very late. Do they pay more for that?
You know, I think the rate is pretty much the same. The idea is you got to fill up the spots before they get taken. And to your point, you know, if you look back to when Super Bowl commercials started to become a thing, that was back with the 1984 Macintosh ad. So, you know, quite a few years ago. Obviously, back then there were a lot of blowouts, so you wanted to get in early and get your spot on early when people were still paying attention before the Bears were up 46-10 and everybody stopped watching.
Right.
But you're right, this game was compelling, and the last few games have been really compelling to the end. You know, parity in the NFL has helped make this a more competitive game, and so I will say most of the ads that I thought were the better ads were definitely in the second half. The first half ads, there were some good ones, but they did fall a little flat. So I think you still want to get your buy-in early so you can pick your spot, But to your point, I think more and more advertisers are picking later in the game when people are more riveted to the action.
Yeah, the Bill Murray ad was late.
Almost at the end. All you know, a lot of them, the Little Caesars, the that Hyundai ad we talked about were late in the game.
We're talking with Gary Schatz. I'll call him disgruntled advertising agency veteran. It's 8:52. Your overview of everything, the themes this year, different? Anything surprise you?
Here's what surprised me. Where was the sex?
Halftime.
Well, that was the only place. That yeah. was very sexy. But sex sells, and there was none of it. And I think that is really a reflection of our times. There used to be a Victoria's Secret Super Bowl ad, and now Victoria's Secret's being investigated from a corporate perspective that they're a culture of toxic masculinity and sexual harassment. And so they're the last people that are going to have lingerie ads on. Right. The sexiest thing was the Super Bowl, was the halftime show, or possibly, if you really want to stretch, Snickers dropping a giant phallic-shaped candy bar, into a hole, I suppose, if you're really looking to stretch it.
No, we're not looking at
the
that.
The sex wasn't there. And you know, instead we had feminism ads. We had the NFL ad.
A lot of that.
With the girl kicker and holder. You had the Olay ad, where they're, you know, encouraging you to tweet and donating money for Girls to Code. And so that was much more the and that reflects our times.
And how about some hats off here, and good for you to the folks here locally who run WeatherTech for mm-hmm. spending their money with the ad featuring the dog and actually just promoting the Wisconsin School of Veterinary Medicine. Yeah. How about that?
That is definitely a pure branding message, right? There was nothing in there about WeatherTech. That was clearly, we want you to feel better about our brand for down the road, which is your traditional brand advertising, which is not really what WeatherTech does. They're a product-based, sales-based company. They want you to buy their floor liners. But in this case, it was just, we want you to feel better about ourselves. We sort of call that the top of the funnel. We want you to just think about WeatherTech as a good brand in your consideration set when it comes time for you that mm-hmm. you need to buy.
I think that works, because my impression of them now is pretty good.
Well, and certainly all of my friends who are from Wisconsin or went to the University of Wisconsin, they all thought it was the greatest spot ever.
Oh, I'll bet. I don't know about anybody else, but I was really confused with the Bud Light Later ads and the Tide Pods.
Yeah.
What was going on there?
So Tide, you know, the spot itself, the creative itself, I wasn't that interesting. Everybody likes Charlie Day. It was a pretty basic message that now their technology, you don't have to worry about a stain, right? But the creativity was in the media spend. So we're going to do our basic ad, and then we're going to tie in with Budweiser. We're going to tie in that he showed up on a masked singer promo. Mm-hmm. He was on a bumper coming out of commercial. He was in the Wonder Woman trailer. And so they did a lot of more. The creativity there was more in the media placement and how they did that, as opposed to having a sort of funny or entertaining commercial. Outside of Charlie Day, who's a funny, entertaining guy.
And when I see commercials like Rocket Mortgage, which to me made no sense, I keep thinking, after everybody gets done producing that and they sit around in the ad agency conference room and play it, does everybody really say, man, that was fantastic?
Well, of course, the problem is the more times you see it, the less fantastic it comes. The guys working on it were sitting in an editing suite for hours on end, especially while the CGI were being employed to make that happen. Yeah, they're bored to tears by the end. So I did think it was pretty good. It was pretty
really?
Well done. Yeah, I thought it was kind
of. Well, maybe after you see it so many times, you understand it. Maybe that's the problem. I don't know.
You have to know who Jason Momoa is.
I guess so.
You know, that he would be this sort of weird lap guitar playing, you know, Nebbish who can't bench the bar. That's not Jason Momoa.
You know what? Next year, come over to the house while the commercials are playing and just explain them to me.
I will absolutely do that.
All right. It's Gary Schatz from the world of advertising. Thanks, Gary.
Thanks for having me on.
Good commentary. The news coming up next. A little business to take care of. From time to time when we come on the radio here just after the 5 a.m. news, I get a few things off my chest, and many people don't like that, but this text caught my eye from 815. The New York Times recently had an article about how complaining is good for you. It gets it out of your system. Good for you, Bob. All right. I know what I'm going to do.
What's that?
This morning, I'm going to get that New York Times article. Here's John Williams.
Hand it out to passersby.
How are you?
So tell the truth. Did you know in what state Kansas City is?
Oh, yes, there was an errant tweet, wasn't there?
And I was like, well, it's on the board. No, it's Missouri. It's Missouri.
That was quickly deleted, wasn't it?
And corrected, yeah.
Uh-huh. So that was a presidential tweet that came after the Super Bowl?
He congratulated the Kansas City Chiefs and all of the great people in the state of Kansas. Whoops. This is why you just... my idea for an app, tell me if this is brilliant, is when you hit send, it goes to somebody else before it goes to the internet. And then it'll be your guy. It'll be Dave Ennett or somebody smart and, you know, organized. And then Dave will go, oh, hey, great idea. Let's make it Missouri.
You know my motto.
No, I don't.
Don't hit send.
That's so true.
You can never get in trouble doing that.
Nope.
Hey, listen, the Ad Meter Super Bowl commercial winner was obviously produced in Chicago, and we'll talk to some of the people behind it a little later on.
We will be listening. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. Enjoy the sun. We'll see you tomorrow.